All right. Man, I've been excited about today. We started a journey in the Psalms, it seems like, a couple years ago, man. It's been going slow. But I've been excited about getting to Psalm 34. I feel so much of the church at Southside's story is evident in this Psalm. And so I just want to start by reading it this morning and then praying together. We'll talk about it for a few minutes. Psalm 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from the evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous, and his ears are towards their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and he delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves those that are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the lives of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word that is God-breathed. We believe that each and every person here this morning has been invited into an epic story, invited by a good father to be sons and daughters through the blood and grace and mercy and compassion of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gospel. It is good news. We love you. We pray that you speak to hearts louder than any voice today, any voices of condemnation, any voices of curse that has been spoken over, any words where someone has said, you're not good enough, you don't belong, you're not worthy. Father, that the blood of Jesus allows each and every person out here this morning to see that not only do they have a seat at the table, they belong at the table because of Jesus. We thank you for that grace and that mercy when we so don't deserve it. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I said I'm excited, and I want to focus on a couple of verses this morning just out of this psalm. It's impossible to go verse by verse in the time that we have out here, but there are some that just as I read these passages, as I read over these verses, that just continued to be on my heart this week. And in fact, I invited others into the story this week and just said, hey, a couple of good friends, if you have any words on this particular thing, I just want you to be able to speak into it this morning. And I was so excited to share that with some friends and got back some amazing feedback. And here's what I want to read again. I want to read verses 8 and 9 because it is so good. I don't want to read this whole passage and these two verses just get kind of lost or tucked in the middle. But here's where I want you to listen. Verse 8 and 9. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. I want to stop right there just for a second. Last week we talked about the definition of what it means to be blessed and how the world throws all kind of different meanings, right? That it basically all boils down to that once your wants and desires are met, once you feel fulfilled, then you are blessed. And we said, no, that's not true, because God's word said, Blessed is the man in Psalm 32. By the way, we can count. We went 32 to 34. Brantley spoke a couple of weeks ago in an awesome way on Psalm 33. We can count. We went backwards. But Psalm 32, as we talked about it last week, it said, blessed is a man whose transgressions, whose iniquity is not counted against him because of the blood of Jesus, right? That is the definition of blessed. This week we get another definition. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. I can never, as a dad, I want to tell you, there's something that changes when you're a dad. There is something that changes when you have this little life that you see, unfortunately, at times, is your mini-me, and you see yourself in this little person. My daughter just turned 21 this last week. I know I don't look that old. I had her when I was like 13 or something like that. I don't know. Started young. I got the jump on things. But she just turned 21, but she is not here this week, and you can tell her I said this. She will always, always be my little girl. I don't care what age. I don't care when she gets married. I don't care any of that stuff. Don't care the good or the bad. She will always be my little girl. When I hear the word refuge means a safe place in a time of trouble. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. There was a time when I was still living in McCall, Alabama, and I've had this one chair. It was our first big purchase we ever made, a recliner that is broke in just like I like it. I still have it today after almost 20 plus years, and I sit in that chair most of the time. And as I sat in that chair one day, my little girl, when she really was a little girl, she just curled up next to me, sat by me. And she snuggled in real tight, and I will never forget this as long as I live, because it gave me the imagery of what refuge is. My daughter, the one that looked to me for protection, for guidance, for leadership, to be that positive male influence in her life, said this one word as she snuggled up next to me. She said, safe. Safe. Never said anything else. I asked her later about it. I said, why did you say that? She said, I really don't know. We've talked about it since, and in that conversation, she said, I've just always felt safe next to you, that you would never let anything on your own power happen to me, that you protect me, that you guide me, that you love me unconditionally. I want you to know, blessed is the man who will humble himself. Blessed is the woman who will humble themselves and curl up next. Safe. Safe. Nothing can come against me. This world can throw anything at me. In fact, it may throw something that causes me to lose my earthly life. But I am blessed because I have taken eternal refuge in Him. Is that good stuff? Anybody want to say amen? That's okay. Amen. That we are blessed because we take refuge in Him. But man, I just want to tell you, that was good, but that's just a small part of that verse. I'm getting excited this morning. Let me tell you about this other part. Taste and see that the Lord is good. My brother Roger Patterson was telling me this week a funny story, a simplistic story, but it's beautiful how it paints this. His daughter Tori is now a grown young lady, and he was telling me a story about mashed potatoes. Anybody like mashed potatoes? Come on. Anybody from a call of people, anybody remember the Bucksville Cafe? Anybody remember when that was open? I had this sweet dear, this is just a story, I got to go off. Mashed potatoes took me to another direction. See, on their menu, they had smashed potatoes. Smashed potatoes. And I asked that sweet young lady as they opened the Bucksville Cafe, and I said, ma'am, let me ask you a question. Thought I was funny. I said, what's the difference between smashed and mashed potatoes? And she said, an S. That's the only difference. They were good. I can tell you that. I miss the Bucksville Cafe. Bucksville Plaza Cafe. Smashed potatoes. Mashed potatoes. And so in Tori's story, Roger, as she was growing up, would say, man, just try it. You'll like it. Just taste them. You'll like it. She says, no, those are gross. I don't like those. Tori, you've never tried them. Taste them. You'll see that they are good. Just taste them. No, I don't like them. You see, there's some that have walked up this morning that have heard over and over that Jesus loves you. Listen, look at me. Jesus loves you, that He cares for you. It doesn't matter your sin. You're welcome. You're wanted. You have a seat at the table. And you said, nah, I don't want none of that. I'm living life just fine on my own. Will you listen to me this morning? Will you just taste it? Just a little taste. Just
a little dab will do if you'll just taste
this morning.
But see, the rest of the story is Tori then later tried mashed potatoes, and come on, amen, Jesus, they became one of her favorites because she tasted and saw that, brother, that was good. This morning, could it be that you've avoided time after time when somebody tells you, would you just taste and see that the Lord is good? Would you just taste that His way is better? Out there at the line, would you just taste that the Lord is good this morning? You say, I don't know about that. I don't know that that's for me because you don't know what I've done. Listen to me. The beautiful part about the grace of Jesus is it doesn't matter what you've done. You can come to a place at the table, a seat that already has your name that is paid in full, that says the reservation was taken care of and paid by the blood of Jesus, and that you can sit at the table not as some hired hand, not as a servant, not as somebody that just barely made it in, but as a son or daughter. If you have heard one message over and over and over, if this thing blows away tomorrow and we are not here, I want you to know, and somebody, when you tell them, I'll tell you, here's what I heard, is that I can be a son or daughter of the King of Kings. There is a seat at the table with your name that is paid, and not only a seat, not only a seat for you to watch other people dining, but a seat where you can sit and taste and see that the Lord is good. Is that good stuff this morning? But it gets even better. I want to continue. It's so simple and so beautiful a story just to bring mashed potatoes in and think about tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. Where's my buddy John Littleford? I see him this morning. John and I were talking this week about this, and this was so good. You guys know that we have five senses, right? We've got five senses that God has given us, of sight and of touch and of smell and of hearing and of taste. I want you to listen to this. Here's what this passage doesn't say. It doesn't say that you from a distance see that the Lord is good. In other words, to sit on the fringes or feel like we have to sit far back and just maybe I'll get a glance in there and see that He is good. Maybe I don't get to just look in at what all them people over there are cooking and what's in their grits, and I get to smell that the Lord is good from a distance. Maybe I don't get to just hear that the Lord is good. I don't just have to do that. Listen to me. There is a beautiful, simplistic reason here that He used the word taste. You know how you have to taste? You have to sit at the table. You have to linger. You have to be invited into relationship. He brings you to the table. He could have said anything. Just listen and see that I'm good. Just maybe look and see that I'm good. But no, He brought us in by invitation and said, would you just taste? Can't taste by drive-by. You can't taste at a distance. You have to linger at the table. You see, some of you have come to this thing over and over. We've been here now 2 years. The first Sunday in November of 2016, and we haven't missed a Sunday yet. And that's not for a pat on back. That's not for a gold star. That's not to say that whatever. It's to let you know that that's how important this message is, that we hope that one person and then one more and then one more hears the story and understands that no matter where your residence is, if it's the penthouse or the outhouse, no matter what sin you have brought into your life, no matter what you have done or doing or will do, that doesn't matter, that the grace of Jesus is available and it is bought and paid for you a seat at the table to belong, to sit and to taste that He is good. Can you do me a favor this morning? I know this is probably elementary and childish for some, but I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I want you to picture the longest, most beautiful table you've ever seen, with every kind of decoration, every kind of amazing food that you've ever enjoyed, maybe even some that you've never tried that you think, man, that's got to be good. I want you to picture a long table with all of your family invited, with everyone that you ever know, Jesus at the head of the table paying for your way. I want you to picture yourself pulling out a seat and sitting and lingering in the presence of Almighty God that is good and faithful. I want you to picture yourself tasting of His presence, tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. You can open your eyes and think with me on this. I believe that there's also a beautiful promise in this wording. When he gets to this part in the psalm, I want to read it again. He says,
that, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. There are some that are still in the circle that are not convinced. There are some that will sit here this morning and just say, man, I just don't know about this. I just don't know about this whole God thing. I can't see Him. I can't feel Him. I can't talk to hear and hear Him in an audible voice. I want you to know that I believe this is a promise in this verse. That if you would humble yourself just to sit at His table just for a moment and taste, that you not only might see that He is good, not only that you could see that He's good, not only maybe He's good, I believe His Word teaches us that if we taste, you will see that He is good. Could today maybe be the first taste test in your life where you sit at the table and say, you know what, I'm going to give that thing a shot. You see, because here is what the deal is. I'm just going to be honest this morning, walking an aisle or praying a prayer, or joining a church, or giving your money to God, or any of these things won't cut it. You've got to pull up a chair and linger, to stay a while, to be at the table. And it won't be a maybe. It won't be a hopefully. You will see that He is good. It's all about relationship over religion. You see, I believe religion smells that He is good. Religion sees that He is good. Religion may even hear a good sermon that He is good. But relationship tastes and sees that He is good. I want you to know, wherever life has you now, wherever you are at, that His way is better. I can tell you that from personal experience, because I've tried it myself. I've tried every other way possible, but I can tell you that His way is good. Maybe this morning you would say, though, Keith, I've tasted before. I've been there. I know the Lord. I have relationship with God through Jesus, and I've tasted that, yes, He is good, but it's been so long, and I've done so many things to put this barrier in our relationship. And I think to my sweet friend that I've only met one time in my life, but has marked me forever. Her name was Jennifer. Jennifer was coming off heroin. She was having withdrawals and trying to kick this habit that had been her whole life. And Jennifer, in the hospital, as we took her there, her face just mangled from the attack the night before. And I remember her sitting on that hospital bed, and I remember the words. I will always remember the words, because sweet Jennifer said this, Keith, I used to know Him, but I can't hear His voice anymore. She followed it by saying, I know that He looks at me and says that I'm a no good junkie. With the confidence that I believe in this, I would stake my life on the gospel. I would stake my life that I have tasted and seen that He is good. If you're here this morning, say, I tasted a long time ago, but I can't hear Him anymore. Can I give you the same words that I gave Jennifer as she said, I know He sees. It was confidence. She had bought in. I know He sees me as nothing but a no good prostitute junkie. So no, Jennifer, if you know Him through the blood of Jesus, He sees you as His precious daughter. I will never forget the reaction, because Jennifer, it was a weight of the eternal glory of God. That maybe just for a moment, maybe not that day, maybe not that night, but just for a moment, Jennifer said, I believe that. There's something in me that believes that. I want to tell you this morning, if you've tasted and seen that He's good and you've walked away, I want you to know He's not ashamed of you. He's not mad at you. He hasn't made it where you can't come back. There is a way. Would you just start with the word, Father, Father, I'm here. I want to taste again. I want to taste again. I want to see that You are good. Will you do like that man's telling me? Will you show up for me? I want to challenge you this morning. Everybody look this way. If you would pray a bold prayer like this morning, if you've tasted and seen that He's good and you've walked away, would you just start with the word today? Father, show me You still care. I promise you He will. He's already made a way. He's already paid for it. It's already paid in full. In fact, this tells us, If you've tasted and seen the Lord is good, let me read verse 15 through 17. I want you to key in on a word here this morning, because at this word, some of you will turn off and say, well, that ain't talking about me. It's the word righteous. But here's what I want you to know, and I want you to understand. We talked about it last week, the same word, this justification, being made right, taking away your guilt, and also making you righteous. This justification, just if I'd never sinned, making you right, taking away the guilt, and not just taking away the guilt and saying, okay, now you've got to get it together, but taking away your guilt and making you right before a holy God. Perfect standing. Do you realize that? That when you accepted that grace and mercy, baby, it was for all time. It wasn't just for the sin that you had committed, and now, okay, now that you know the truth, straighten up, because you can't. It's paid for. It's done. Take the weight off, brother, sister. Take the weight off. You are righteous if you know Him. By the grace and mercy, you know Him. You are righteous. So if you've tasted and seen and you walked away, but you still know Him, you are righteous. And so listen to this. If you say, man, He feels so far, I don't know where to go, I don't know where to turn. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their trouble. The Lord hears. The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous. His ears are toward their cry. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them. This morning, if you say, I've tasted and seen it, the Lord is good, but I've walked away, but you would agree with me that the blood of Jesus has made you righteous, then take heart. When you cry, the Lord hears. When you speak, His ears are towards you. You are the righteous ones. Listen to me. I'm going to go on and step further. You may have never heard this in church before. We are gathered as the church. Amen. We don't have a building, but the people, we are the church, right? Listen to me this morning. You may have never heard this, but I'm telling you the God's honest truth. I don't care what you've done today. I don't care if you woke up with a needle still in your arm or hung over from the night before. If you have the blood of Jesus covering your life, you are righteous. It is not on your account that you stand before Him, but it's on the blood of Jesus. Do you agree with that this morning, that you are righteous because of Him? Does He want better for you? Absolutely. But you are righteous, justified. Can I read this in a different way? I want everybody on the count of three. I want everybody here on the count of three to say your name. One, two, three. Nice to meet you if I hadn't met you. I'm Keith. I was at a Honor Society tap-in service one time. Mind you, I was at it. I wasn't in it. I was at it. I sat on the fringes. And I saw the smartest people in our school, and they stood up there and they said, we're going to swear you in now to the Honor Society. And they said, I state your name. And all the smartest people in the school said, I state your name. You're supposed to fill in the blank with your name, all right? So let's try that again. I want you to do your name on three. One, two, three. All right. When you hear this, when you hear these words, here's what I want you to do, because this is life-changing. This is a personal letter to you. When you hear the word righteous, I want you to state your name, but I don't want you to do it like the smart folks in school did. I don't want you to say, I state my name. I want you to say your name. Got me? Listen to this. Life changing. Some of you need to hear this today. You may have came just for this. You may not have known it. But the Holy Spirit brought you here to whisper these words to your heart. The eyes of the Lord are toward His ears are toward your cry. When cries for help, I will hear you. If I had someone here with a gun to my head and say, do you really believe that? I would say, yes, I'll stake my life that that's why I come out here. I am so blessed by you. I'm so honored to be your brother and you to be my brother or sister. But I would stake my very last breath on that each and every one of you, no matter what you've done, no matter what you're doing or what you will do, he hears you when you cry. Even when you can't verify that by feelings or the feel good that happens or the maybe he hears you because of the blood of Jesus. He hears the righteous when we cry. When you cry, when a tear falls, it is not wasted on him. He knows you when you cry. And I'm going to be honest. Real men, we don't like to talk about this, but we're okay with it. There ain't a man here that hadn't cried before. Maybe you don't want anybody to know that, but at some point you've cried. When you've cried, he knows your tears. He is there. He hears your cries. If you've tasted and seen that he's good and have walked away, there's still hope. It's still personal. He hears the righteous. Maybe that's not you, though. Maybe you come today and you say, you know what, I've never tasted. I've never been invited to the table. Well, brother, sister, here's your invitation. Hold on, pull up a seat. Linger for a while. Take in the presence of the Lord. But maybe you've never tasted and seen the Lord is good. Maybe you're hurt. Maybe you feel like you're always on the fringes, believing this is all too good to be true. Maybe you are broken. Maybe you're sad. Maybe you are angry at God. The gospel means good news, and I've got some good news for you. You say, I'm broken, I'm crushed, I'm mad, and I'm angry. Here is the good news in so much of where the church at Southside story is. The Lord is near the brokenhearted. And he saves those who are crushed in spirit. If you would say this morning, I'm broken, I'm mad, I'm angry, I'm pissed off, I just don't know where to go. I've got all kind of feelings that there is no human description for. And Keith, you don't understand what I've been through. You may be 100% right. I may not can relate, but here is what I can tell you. That if you're brokenhearted this morning, if you are crushed, it says that he's not off far. He's not ran away where he just blinds himself by it. He's not just hiding somewhere for it all to stop. It says that the Lord is near the brokenhearted. The Lord saves those who are crushed in spirit. So this morning, if you could say, yes, I'm brokenhearted, I'm crushed, can I offer you the good news that he is near? He is right there. He is right there waiting. Some of us here have a good friend, and I never will forget him sharing this story with me of some horrible abuse that had happened in his life. And the biggest struggle for him was not ever necessarily believing that God existed or that he sent Jesus, but he wanted to know in the moment, God, where were you? Where were you when I was a little boy and that abuse was happening? Where were you? And as he grew in his understanding of the gospel and the goodness of Jesus in this broken world we live, he came to understand that God was right there with him. That the abuse was happening to him too, that it crushed God. It's a hard concept to understand because our human reasoning just says, God, why can't you just make it stop? Why can't all the things that have broken me, why can't all the things that have me crushed in spirit, why can't you just, if you're God, why can't you make it go away? My human brain doesn't understand that other than to tell you we live in a broken world. This never was meant to be this way. Eden was the ultimate thing. It was perfection. It was one-on-one relationship with God, and sin entered the picture. And I said this a few weeks ago, and the ultimate thing was, God, why do you let the bad things happen? Why didn't you save me? Can I just tell you the good news of the gospel? He already has. He's already saved you. He's already made a way. He's already set things right, that if you would come to Him, if you would taste and see that He is good, seat at the table. It may not all be corrected here, but one day, listen to me. By look this way, one day everything will be made new. Everything will be set right. Everything we've lost, we will get again. The gospel, Jesus, changes everything. Can you do one favor for me? I'm going to ask you in a bold way. I've never asked this before. Could you just look at me this morning? I'm going to ask, even if you got sunglasses, take them off just for a second. I want to make eye contact with you. I want you to hear my heart in this. You belong. People ask all the time, why do you do what you do? Why did y'all leave a building? Why did you come out here? It's to let every person that we come in contact with. I don't care what sin you brought with you. I don't care what's going on. To let every breathing human being know that you belong. Through Jesus, there is a place at the table with your name on it. Now, here's the beautiful part about the gospel. I'll close with this. There's no magic hoop. There's no religious dance. There's no magical prayer. There's no church you have to join. There's no aisle you have to walk. Can I ask you a question today? If you don't know Him, wouldn't today be a wonderful day to taste and see that He is good? All you got to do is taste. If you taste, if you come to the table, if you say through Jesus, through the blood, the grace, the mercy of Jesus, I'm coming to the table, God. This guy's telling me there's a seat. If you come to the table, pull up a chair and say, I'm going to taste. I'm going to make you a promise that if you really taste Him, not religion, but relationship, if you taste Him, if you taste, you will see that He is good and that there's a place for you. You belong. You belong. My hope is this. The church at Southside, people ask, man, what do I got to do to join this church? Or what do I got to, you know, where's your church building? This is the church. We are the church. You are the people. If you want to belong to this fellowship, here's what you do. Do you believe in Jesus this morning? You're in. That's it. You belong. You have a home. We hope this is a representation, a small representation, the best we can, that no matter who comes here, you got a seat at the table. That's the kingdom of God in a nutshell. Whoever, whenever, however, through the blood of Jesus, taste and see that He is good. Amen. Will you pray with me this morning? I just want to ask, if you bow your head and close your eyes, Jonathan's going to come and sing one last song with us in worship. You just worship in that fact that you have tasted and seen that He is good. If you've never tasted before, what a beautiful time to do that. Today is the day of salvation. And so this morning, if you would say, man, I've never done that. I've never tasted, but I want to. That sounds appealing. It sounds like, man, that's better than mashed potatoes. I want to taste and see that He is good. Would you do that today? If you want to pray with somebody, then we'll do it. We'll pray. Okay? We'll pray together. But if you're already there, if you already say, man, I want to taste, you're already there. Taste. Believe in Jesus. Believe that He died for you, that He rose again, and that He is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding on your behalf. He loves you. He's made a way. And so we believe in that. We taste and we see, and you are welcome and you are wanted and you belong. That's the kingdom of God. Everybody has a seat at the table. I'm going to pray. If you haven't tasted, man, please, through the power of the Holy Spirit, would you taste today? Come alive. Man. We thank You for the gospel, God. We get so short-sighted that we say, man, why do You let all these bad things happen, God? Why won't You save us? You already have, God. You already have. I can't understand the logic of the rest of it, but I know that you've saved us. You've made a way through Jesus. And every person here, no matter, I don't care what the blank is, no matter what, God, you've made a way. So we just pray, we ask. There's someone here that hasn't tasted, that today they would taste and see firsthand that you are good. Not hear it, not smell it, not listen to it, but taste. Taste. And then lastly, if we've tasted, would you just help us to remember, to know that we're good enough, that we belong, we are sons and daughters, that this is family. We don't jokingly throw that term out. This place is family. I love these folks, man. It makes my week to be out here. This is what I long for. This is my passion. I've learned more about you, Jesus, than I've ever taught out here. And I thank you for it each and every day. I thank you for my friends, my family. God, we just pray. Taste and see that you are good. Let today be that day. If we've already tasted, God, let us just embrace that relationship. No matter what we do to try to mess that up, that we can't. We can't take away our seat. We love you. We thank you that we belong. We thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.